Peace be with you. Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll read verse 21 through 22. Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 21 and 22. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. It is truly an honor that I can share the word of God with you today. My name is Richard Shang. I'm currently a pastor of Baltimore Chinese Baptist Church. And today, the message that I'm going to share with you is the new life in Christ. Before we start the sermon today, would you bow down and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for all your love and care upon us. We also thank you for all the provisions that you provided. Lord, right now, we humbly come before you and open our heart and mind to receive your word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit can speak through me today, and that everyone can be benefited through the word of God. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move among here. We thank you. Your name is always to be worthy to be praised. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we are still in the New Year season. Chinese has a special advantage because we can celebrate twice for a New Year. What will you do in the beginning of the year? Many people, they will make resolution, right? So that's why New Year resolution. But the question is, how long can you keep that momentum? Most of the people, they give up in the first or second month of the year. Then very, very few, they can sustain till the second half. Well, I think if you can sustain till the second half, then you might very much possible to accomplish your New Year resolution. But most of us give up. Needless to say, how many can do it. Life is something like that. We like to try and make things happen. We do it in our daily life. We try to make things happen in our school, in our work, in our family. That is human's tendency. We like to make things happen. But in the spiritual realm, there is a different aspect. You don't make things happen. You submit yourself and allow things happen to you. That is the difference. You don't have to try hard and crank your brain and gnashing your teeth to let it happen. All you need to do is submit your life to the Lord. And He will do wonderful and amazing things, even beyond your imagination. No one can live the Christian life in his own strength. Yet so many people try to do just like that. They know God has saved them, but in practice, they believe a life that pleases Him is possible only through their efforts. But today, I'd like to spend some time to contemplate our salvation. So first, I would like you to turn your focus to the condition before the salvation. Before we have come to know the Lord, every human being's status, spiritual status, is dead. This is not to say that physical death, because we have read from the Genesis. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." We all know the truth. We all know the story that Adam and Eve are not physically dead. However, they are separated from God spiritually. They no longer enjoy the close relationship they used to have with God before they fall to the curse of sin. In Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Indeed, that is our condition before knowing Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. What is the following consequence? The following consequence before we are saved is we have to experience the wrath of God. That is not something that you can joke about. That is not something you can play lightly. Because Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3 clearly tells us, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." So God is just. He will not punish us for anything that we did not deserve. Because we sin, we follow the ways of this world. So God's wrath come upon us. However, God loves us so much, He prepares salvation for us. And what is going on during the salvation? Many people, they don't really understand that. First, the Holy Spirit must convict us that we need God's forgiveness. Jesus has spoken about this right before His arrest. "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." So the first thing taking place during the salvation is a conviction of the Holy Spirit. We don't realize that we are a sinner until the Holy Spirit working in our heart. That happened to me some years ago. I didn't consider myself as a sinner. I didn't consider myself as a bad guy. I grew up in a church. I actually actively involved in all kinds of ministries, from choir to Sunday school. But I didn't personally know Him. I had a lot of questions. I started to indulge myself in all kinds of bad behaviors. And yet I still claim I am a Christian. Until one day, I met a friend. He told me about a certain church where I was attending. Then on that night, I was so shameful about myself. I didn't think I deserve all God's grace and love upon me. So that is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It turns my heart around. It totally changed me. So at that moment, and also the next thing that we should do, we should experience, we should see during the salvation, is to confess that you are a sinner. We sincerely come to the Lord and admit that we willfully disobey Him and ask for His forgiveness. It is a great relief, you know, because many people, they have all kinds of dirty secrets hid inside of them. But there's no outlet. They don't know who to talk to. I once know a friend who just got baptized, and right before he came out from that pool, and I had opportunity to interview him. And he told me that, "I feel so light. I feel so easy right now. It's just like a lot of burden just relieved from me." And that is exactly what every believer should experience. Not only on the day that you get baptized, but it's a continuous experience that we should have. Because each time we confess that we are a sinner, we did something wrong to offend God, and then we ask for His forgiveness, we shall experience this lightness, this wonderful condition of relieving. After we confess, we need to trust Jesus' death on the cross, pay the debt we owe for sin. It is a gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has given to those who trust in Him. You cannot earn it. All you can do is to receive it. Just like somebody give you a Christmas gift. You don't have to do anything to get a gift. It is given to you. After you experience the gift of the salvation, what you should do is to turn away your old lifestyle. That is to say, if you believe that Jesus Christ really saved you, can you still in that sinful life? Can you still have the habit of lying, steal somebody's time or money? You've got to change, because God's Spirit has already resided in you, dwelling in you. You can no longer live in that old style. If you truly want to be a Christian, you have to constantly examine your life, examine your walk on this world. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." Watch out, the new creation. You are new. You are new in Christ. The best example that I can observe from this nature is a caterpillar transformed into a butterfly. If you were like me, I used like to capture the caterpillar and kept them in the shoebox. I will feed them. I try to put some leaves or twigs inside there. And then I will see them start to grow. It is a very funny process to see how a small tiny thing like a caterpillar or something like in that sort can start to grow, especially for a young boy. It is amazing to see that. However, I realized it stopped eating somehow. At first, I didn't know what's going on. I thought it's going to get hungry and dead. But no, it started to wrap itself with a cocoon. And you know what? Not for long. One day, it became a butterfly. So our life should be like that. Our old life, old style, old lifestyle should be changed, because we are a new creation. Have you ever seen a caterpillar go to the flying school? Or try the computer simulator of how to fly? No, because the nature is totally different upon this little creature. He is no longer the nature of the crawling caterpillar, but the lively, happily flying, beautiful butterfly. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. And one day, Colonel Teddy Roosevelt, later to become the president, came to her wanted to buy some food and supply for his wounded soldiers. However, to his surprise, that Clara Barton denied his request. That makes Mr. Roosevelt very perplexed, very confused. He cannot understand, how come my men are dying and yet you cannot sell me what you already have, which is very precious for my men's life, for soldiers' life. So he shared this to his colleague. And his colleague answered him, "Colonel, all you need to do is to ask for it. Just to ask for it." So a smile broke over Roosevelt's face. Now he understands. All these provisions are not for sale, but they should be given to those who are in need. Same way, we can never earn our salvation. All you need to do is to ask, and you shall receive it. Indeed, just ask and no need to struggle and earn your salvation. God's promise all the provisions in Christian's life. First of these provisions is Jesus will come into our lives and live through us. We die to our old lives and were raised to new life. This is one reason why Scripture refers to salvation as being born again. Jesus once prayed to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I mean them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." What a wonderful promise that is. The Creator and created become one. The life giver and life receiver become one. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Our nature is totally different. Therefore, a caterpillar can no longer crawl on the ground, but be transformed into a butterfly. Good behaviors and clean thoughts are not unreachable goal. All you need to do is let Christ living within you. Let his power demonstrate through you. You are like a floor lamp. If you want to be bright, what should you do? Somebody got to plug you into the outlet, right? And then you will get the source of power. The power is not exist in the lamp, but the power plant. And our power is not through us, but through Jesus Christ alone. Not only Christ, Holy Spirit will also reside within us. When we rely on Him, He will help us to think, act, and react as Jesus would do. If somebody wronged you, what would you do? You'll revenge, right? One way or the other. You'll try to get even. That's our thoughts. But Holy Spirit will prompt you and help you to forgive. If you allow the Holy Spirit working in you, you will have the ability to forgive people who wrong against you. Even Jesus himself submitted his life to the will of God. He once said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So he is at the same page as the Holy Spirit, as the Father. So should we. Who are we? We can boast before God like a clown, And that is many people's situation. But now it has to be changed. Every morning we should commit ourselves to God and ask Him to live through us that day. You will never speculate what will happen to you today. You don't know who will cross your path today. You don't know what is going to happen. But you have to ask God to live through you and live according to His will. We will sometimes still experience some temptation, for sure, and adversity. And sometimes we'll have to face some very, very difficult, challenging decisions. But if you rely on God, you can do things that is pleasing Him. We are all aware of our capacity to resist evil. How many times we tell ourselves not to get angry? We must control our temper. And yet, time and time again, we fail. How many times do we remind ourselves not to watch those dirty stuff? Time and time again, we yield. Not to gossip anymore behind someone's back. Time and time again, we failed. We cry out, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. What can I do? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body? That is many people's heart condition. And it is echoed in Romans, as Paul described it. But this is not the end of the story. Jesus knows our struggle. He knows our frustration and our disappointments. So in Romans, continually saying, thanks be to God who delivered us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So He is the exit to help us to get out of our sinful situation. He is the way to help us getting out of the mud of sin. Another important reason for Christ to live in us is His desire to have an intimate relationship with us. He enjoys our presence more than anything in this world. If you were a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Parents' love for their children is so evident. Since you first held your child in your arm, the love starts growing. And keep growing, 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 never ceasing. The 80 plus years old parents still care about their adult children very much. So, what can we do to respond to the fact that Christ wants to live within us? You have to admit you failed. You failed Him many times. You can say something like this, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I can live a life that pleases You through my own efforts. I still know too little of Your grace. I've been struggling to be good and not relying on You for a long time. But now I know You want me to look at the salvation in a new light, an angle that I've never perceived before. That is to simply let You live within me and have full authority over me. I will stop kicking and fighting, but let God take over. Please take over my relationship, my health, my finances, my job, my school, my work, my family. You are the Lord over every aspect of my life. You are the King, and I'm Your servant. No longer is my will, but Yours be done in my life. Help me to seek Your counsel first, then humanly advise. I know the reason for you to live within me is love. I can never grasp or measure such love you have for me. How can an infinite God dwell in a finite human being like me? Therefore, I stand in awe before you, and once again, I surrender all I have to you. My soul, my body, my spirit are yours. If that is the sincere prayer for you, I believe something wonderful will happen to you. There used to be a young girl, a little poor girl, near a small church from which she had been turned away because she wanted to attend their Sunday school, and yet they told him it's too crowded. But a pastor of that church just happened to pass by him. Observing her shabby, unkempt appearance, the pastor guessed the reason why she was turned down. She was denied. So this pastor just took her aside and find her a place for her to sit in the Sunday school classroom. The child was so happy because she can go to church and sit in a certain space in the Sunday school room. Some 2 years later, this child was very, very ill and ultimately died. So the child's parent called the pastor and asked him to come to do the final arrangement. So this pastor came to her house. As her little poor body was being moved, a warm and crumpled purse was found, which seems to have been thrown into the trash. And inside that purse was found 57 cents and a note scribbled in childish handwriting, which read, "This is to help build the little church bigger, so more children can go to Sunday school." For 2 years, this poor little girl was trying to save money to donate to a church, to build a bigger church, have more rooms to accommodate more children. And when the pastor tearfully read the note, he knew something has to be done. He called up his deacons, his co-workers, and asked them to be busy to raise enough funds for a larger building. And this news passed on. A local newspaper started to publish their story about it. And it was read by a realtor who offered them a parcel of land with only the worth of 57 cents. Church members made large donations, checks coming from far and near. Within 5 years, the little girl's gift had increased to 250,000. It is a huge sum for that time. Her unselfish love had paid large dividends. If you go to Philadelphia, you look up Temple Baptist Church, with a seating capacity of 3,300, and the Temple University, where hundreds of students are trained. And that is because a little girl is willing to give up all she has. 57 cents. Who is in charge of your life? You or Jesus Christ? If you are wise, you will allow the Son of God to direct you every day. Let him give you guidance, directions, and the power to make good, godly choices. Does that mean you will escape from all the problems, headache, and burdens? No. But you won't have to struggle on your own. Instead, you can walk in the power of the living God. And that is the best gift that we can receive. Now we will sing a song to respond to the message. Let's all stand and sing stanza 1 of hymn 64. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus."